Lecture 4, The Emergence of Rabbinic Judaism.
In our earlier lectures, we dealt with Judaism from its very roots and beginnings and until modernity, each time addressing a different aspect. In one lecture, the historical aspect and development of Judaism, in another, the literary development of Judaism. This lecture will be a bit different, because we're going to focus on a very particular stage, in a very particular period in Jewish history, literally a watershed, where Judaism might have gone in one direction, but chose another. This lecture attempts to answer a basic question. If, as we said in our earlier lectures, the faith and the behavior prescribed by Judaism derive primarily from the Bible, why is the Judaism we encounter today, even among its most zealous practitioners, so radically different from the biblical representation of that very same religious tradition? And the answer will lead us to a detailed discussion on the origins and basic tenets of what we call rabbinic Judaism, the establishment of an alternative path of Jewish religious expression following the destruction of the Second Temple by the Romans in the year 70 CE. And this lecture will help explain where the very notion of the rabbinic model of leadership comes from, because it's conspicuously absent in the Bible. There are no rabbis in the Bible. There are priests, there are prophets, there are kings. And so we will be addressing here a very specific stage and development that would define Judaism until this very day. But as I said, if we look around us at Jews practicing Judaism today, we find that it is radically different from everything known to us in the Bible. For instance, how do Jews worship? The standard system for worship, for religious expression of adherence to God and the praising of God, was through sacrifices in a temple in Jerusalem. And yet today, there is a total decentralization. The very same decentralization that was frowned upon in the Bible today is the standard. Jews worship in synagogues. And these are located wherever a sufficient number of Jews warrants their establishment. So our decentralization would seem to go in the face of what the Bible was interested in, and that is an inward focusing. The Israelites of the Bible were required to serve God through an elaborate system of sacrificial worship. They would slaughter animals on an altar at a temple. And this was done primarily, it was carried out by a family known as priests. Today, we encounter a totally different mode of worship in Judaism, prayer. And in that mode, there is absolutely no necessity for priests. Anyone can do it. The most visible form of religious leadership today is the rabbinic model. We all know these are the leaders of the Jewish community. But whereas the Bible talks about kings, about priests, about prophets, there is absolutely no mention of rabbis anywhere. Where did this model come from? And these changes are just a few of the major adjustments that resulted from what was arguably the most traumatic event in Judaism's long history. Maybe the Holocaust is equal in trauma. I'm referring to the destruction of the Second Jewish Temple in the year 70 CE, following a four-year uprising against the Roman rulers of the province of Judea. The Second Temple had stood in Jerusalem for almost 600 years, from 516 BCE and until 70 CE. And viewed in historical perspective, the sudden loss of the center of Jewish life for practitioners of Judaism throughout the world must have been devastating. We must remember, not only did the Jews of the land of Judea worship there, but Jews throughout the diaspora supported that temple by the sending of funds on a yearly basis, by the coming as pilgrims to the temple in Jerusalem, And so it was really the focal point of a worldwide brotherhood.